Hello, my friends, and welcome to the Journey to Grateful podcast, a podcast to help clarify the process of loss and grief through experiences shared from myself and others living with loss. I'm your host, Tim Begonia, and this is show number 155. In this podcast, I will review the many common myths of grief to help you better prepare for the road ahead. You are invited to join the community and share your story to help others better understand grief, how it affects us moving forward, and how best to navigate its difficult path. I invite you to join the community on Facebook and Instagram, subscribe to the podcast, and find quick links to do both at journeytograteful.com. And lastly, I ask of this in every episode, and here's why. To make a success of this podcast, I need you to take a moment to rate and review the show on Apple Podcasts. Doing so will help this podcast reach more people just like yourself in need of an insightful grief resource, which can help them navigate their grief journey. Your review will allow this podcast to reach more people, and that is a wonderful and very important thing that you can do right now. Thank you so much for considering it. As I've mentioned in several episodes of the Journey to Grateful podcast, there are lessons all around us that can and do relate to this grief journey we are walking every day. To see them, you need to simply view seemingly unrelated lessons a bit differently. When you do, you will see how they relate and how they show there is hope, comfort, and inspiration within them. This podcast is about one such inspiring story, which, at first glance, may not seem to connect with our grief journey in any way. However, today I will show you not only does it connect, there's a lesson to be learned and a strength inside of you that is revealed through it. It's not just related to grief, but more importantly, to our entire journey with grief and the manner in which we live with it and through it. Let's dive into the show. Peyton Manning was waiting for his coffee when he heard a teen boy being bullied at the table next to his and silenced it with one sentence. It was a quiet afternoon in a small town cafe just outside of Louisville. Nothing fancy, locals, regulars, a bit of small talk, and the smell of cinnamon rolls. Peyton Manning had stopped in during a road trip. Hoodie on, sunglasses tucked into his shirt collar, he ordered coffee and sat by the window alone. At the next table, a group of high school boys were laughing loudly. One of them, Daniel, wasn't laughing. He was sitting small, hunched, shoulders tight. He had a stutter, and every time he tried to speak, one of the other boys interrupted, mimicked him, and laughed. So what do you think, Daniel? He's buffering again, somebody. Reboot him. More laughter. Daniel went silent. His eyes dropped. His hands slowly moved to tear the paper sleeve off of his cup, over and over. Peyton watched, didn't say a word, until the loudest boy leaned over and said, "You should just shut up if you can't even finish a sentence." That's when Peyton stood up, walked over, and with calm, measured clarity, looked right at the group and said, "I'd pick Daniel for my team every time, and not one of you would make the bench." Silence. The boys froze. One stammered something, another looked away. Daniel just blinked. Then he smiled. Peyton turned to him, held out his hand. "You've got more courage than they'll understand for a long, long time. And by the way, I stuttered when I was a kid too." Then he sat with Daniel, drank his coffee, talked football, family, life, and before leaving, Peyton scribbled something on a napkin and handed it to him. "For when you forget who you are," he said. And it read, "You don't need to speak perfectly. You just need to speak honestly. And people who matter will always wait for the end of your sentence. Proud to know you, Peyton." Years later, Daniel still keeps that napkin framed above his desk. He's now a youth counselor, helping kids find their voices. Peyton Manning didn't just shut down a group of bullies. He lifted one boy up and gave him the kind of voice no one could laugh away ever again. Now, you may be wondering why I've decided to share this particular story with you on a podcast episode focused on grief. It's a fair question, one of which I will first respond with the easy answer. There are lessons all around us that can and do relate to the grief journey we are walking each and every day. All you need to do is view these lessons just a bit differently, and you will see how they relate and how they show there is hope and comfort and inspiration deep within them. I urge you to start looking for these lessons today. The longer answer to this, well, it will be this entire episode, I suppose. Here's where the story took me when I first read it. Inspiration certainly hit me first. However, as I allowed myself to sit with the story a bit, I saw the connection with my own grief journey in the manner of which I can feel a bit alone in my continued grieving at times. Specifically, the piece of it that tends to creep into all of our experiences with grief at some point. That is to say, when we start to believe we are no longer allowed to grieve, either because of our internal thoughts or, more commonly, because of what someone may have said to us about our grief. For those listening who are either early in their grief or may be supporting a friend in their grief, yet haven't been directly touched by great loss themselves, this will be unfamiliar to you. Sometimes, many months, or more accurately, many years after your loss, there comes a moment in your attempt to move forward where you notice comments which make you begin to feel as though you are, quote unquote, supposed to be over your loss. Now, if you have been listening to this podcast long enough, you are very aware of my feelings about that phrase, "you should be over your grief." Without beating this into the ground, my stance is simple, and it's this. You don't get over grief or loss, but you do get through it. This is not some random mindset of which I suddenly came up with to provide myself an excuse to grieve forever. This is a fact of which I know to be true because I am living it for 5 years. And because my late wife, Colleen, lived it as well through the loss of her first husband back in July of 1999, when their daughter was just 9 months old. Grief is forever. Period. Now, back to how this story relates, for me, to this overarching fact that someday others will subtly or possibly blatantly suggest to you that they believe it is odd that you are still grieving your loss. It may make you question the love you still feel for your person. And I know that sounds really difficult to understand, but it can. And it may make you feel small and inadequate to deal with the grief you are still feeling every day, as if there is something wrong with you. It also may make you feel as though you are doing something wrong, and thus feel as though you are not allowed to grieve your loss based upon someone else's perceived or self-imposed deadline on grief. In turn, you may even feel ridiculed, as Daniel did in Peyton Manning's story, because of it. Here's what I hope for each of you going forward. That God will place in your life someone like Peyton who will sit with you when you need it. Understand where you are in your grief, no matter how long ago your loss occurred. And stand up and educate others as to the absurdity of the idea that grief has a deadline. And for that matter, that there is a right way or even a wrong way to grief, because there isn't. I hope for all of us to have that person in our lives that may understand, and I mean truly get it, because they have either been in your position at some point in their life, or they simply are the type of person that sees empathy and understanding as a strength and not a weakness. Someone who completely understands the smallness of others who would play upon your grief with no regard to where you are, nor the consideration of the struggles that you deal with weekly. Now, in the story I shared at the beginning of this episode, Peyton wrote Daniel a note that said, "You don't need to speak perfectly. You just need to speak honestly, and people who matter will always wait for the end of your sentence." Now, here's my question for you. Do you see how this can parallel our experience with grief? Now, here's what I mean. That note, if written for us who are grieving, well, that note could read this. You don't need to hide your grief. You just need to feel and speak honestly about it. And people who matter will always understand and be there for you. Do you see how powerful this story can be for even us who have experienced loss and continue to live with grief on a daily basis? I guess you might say that grief is our stutter in life. Sometimes it's outwardly. You know, it shows itself outwardly in the world. We are obviously different. It shows the world we're different. Sometimes we can't communicate as effortlessly as we'd like because tears are just a bit too close to the surface, and we notice the stares as we stutter through our grief in that moment. And sometimes we are far too concerned what others think of us when we show the true love of our person that we now must live each day without. Now let me pause here, because right there is a lesson for us all. Usually that phrase I just said would have been said like this: when we show our true love for our person we lost. But I consciously chose to say, when we show our true love of our person we now must live each day without. That simple shift in that phrase really means something. Instead of saying our person that we lost, expanding upon that and saying the person that we must live each day without educates those who are hearing it. I did it initially for variety in how I choose to express death, but I realized as I was typing it that if we stopped saying that we lost someone, and start focusing on truly the difficult piece of it all, the fact that we must live each day without this person, each and every day without them. Well, maybe, just maybe, others will finally understand why it is so important for us that everyone gets that grief does not end. And again, Peyton stepped up and did a remarkable thing with thoughtful words to help someone who could not rise up from the current situation that they were in. It wasn't about shutting down the bullies as much as it was about lifting up Daniel. This is the takeaway here. Lifting up someone gives them power, And the manner in which we do that is usually quite simply showing understanding. That's all we have to do is show understanding. I have friends and family who have often sat with me for just a cup of coffee or have taken a walk around the neighborhood with me. I view them in the same way Daniel saw Peyton in that very moment. Someone who truly understood. And a person that was placed in his life to be a true hero. Now please understand, no one has to do grand things to make a difference. Sometimes just listening, just showing that you understand, just being there with someone, sometimes that is more than enough to make a true difference, because often that is what that person needed in that moment. Here is something else for us all to remember about our grief, about this journey. No matter how hard tomorrow becomes, or next week turns out to be, we must give ourselves the grace we are entitled to grieve. For however long we need, and in whatever way we desire in the moment to grieve for ourselves, no matter how many months or years it has been since we last held the hand of our loved one, it is important that we find our voice in grief, and that we never allow anyone to take that voice from us. Our journey is truly ours. So, my friend, please always remember this important concept. You don't need to hide your grief. You just need to feel and speak honestly about it. And people who matter will always understand and be there for you. Thank you again for listening to the Journey to Grateful podcast. I am thankful for you taking the time to listen to this podcast and sharing it with others. I encourage you to stop by the community on social media, share your own story and insights on grief, and join our family in helping others on this path. Head over to journeytograteful.com/community to find ways to join the conversation and make a difference through your very own story. And if you would like a more personal connection with me, I invite you to connect with me via email, tim@journeytograteful.com. And lastly, help me build this community, broaden my reach, and support my mission by reviewing this show and telling others why you listen over at Apple Podcasts. I provided you a leave a review button on the website. Please take into consideration that more and more people can find this podcast with rates and reviews in Apple Podcasts. Your comments are a powerful thing that you can do today, and I thank you for considering it. So many of you might not know that my cell phone's photo app is not only filled with various photos of my kids and family, but various quotes I discover throughout social media. And I could probably create a fairly hefty book if I gathered them all together in one document. Which brings me to one that I discovered just last week, which begins with a question. What harsh truth do you choose to ignore that you know you shouldn't? And here is the answer. Sometimes I don't want to fully heal because it's the last link to what I've lost. And for that quote, I will simply allow you to sit with that for a while. Thank you again, my friends, for joining me today. Let me know your thoughts on today's episode or any previous episodes. And for those who are walking on their path with grief, I hope that you find a way to walk confidently on your journey to grateful. Bye-bye.